Turn your Bibles to Exodus 3. Moses, you can't really fully look at the eyewitnesses because every time God appeared in the tabernacle in the glory of God, it came down as a pillar of glory. He met with them daily, spoke with them out of that pillar of glory. That could be an eyewitness in itself, but we're going to look at the burning bush. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro. Now he's 40 years on the backside of a desert. Now he hasn't been to Egypt in 40 years. God's processed him thoroughly on the backside of a desert. It says, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Some of God's greatest generals were always used as shepherds first. I don't know if you know that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, because he taught him how to tend sheep. Amen? Glory to God. And the angel, it says the angel of the Lord, but you're going to find out as you continue to meditate, it was actually the Lord himself. A lot of times in the visitations of the Lord, it'll describe as the angel of the Lord. That's what happened with Abraham, but found out it was the Lord that talked with him. You'll see that it says the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. Many times things God spoke out of a flame of fire, he actually appeared to him in the flame. There was a flame of fire, but God was in that flame and he spoke to him out of that flame. And you'll see in a minute, it was so powerful that Moses could not look upon the face of God in that flame. God was appearing to him in and through the flame. So this is his first eyewitness encounter with the Lord. He said, in the flame of fire, out of the midst of a bush, and he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him. Who called unto him? God. God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses. You got to do it like the movie does it. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am. I don't know how he spoke to him, but I know he trembled. I am the God. Now notice what he does. He declares, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, what you want to underline right here, for he was afraid to look upon God. God was appearing to him in that flame. He was afraid to look upon him. He hid his face from God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Now, this is why he appears to him. He says, I've come down, verse 8, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them into the land. See, God gave Abraham a covenant for that land. He established that covenant with Abraham. He establishes the promise with Isaac and Jacob in an eyewitness state, and he's coming to deliver them. He's going to deliver them with a mighty hand. So God stands before Moses in that burning bush in an eyewitness testimony. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going to deliver my people. You are the one I'm going to do it through. How'd you like that job? Verse 9, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel come up to me, and I've seen the oppression. Come now, therefore. And I will send thee unto Pharaoh. You have to understand, God's never done anything like this before, at this level. Moses, first time. Moses didn't have a Moses to read about. Now, Pharaoh's the most powerful man on the planet, naturally. And God said, I'm going to deliver my people. Moses didn't go in there with an army, but he had God with him. Amen. Once God established it, that eyewitness testimony, it was set. Now, go down to verse 13. Let's get a little further into this. Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto him, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, because God told him, go tell them I've sent you. And they shall say to me, what is your name? What do I tell them? Don't you like God? Just tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. That'll be enough. I am has sent me to deliver you. See, there's a difference between being sent and just getting up and went. When you're sent, God backs you. We should all, through the Great Commission, go. But there is a time when God commissions, and when God commissions with an eyewitness, He backs you. He backs your words. He backs your message. He backs your purpose. There will be demonstration. The greatest generals of all times all had demonstration in their life. When you're sent by God, there's demonstration. Even the Lord did not want miracle till God ordained him. He taught in the synagogues all the time. He said he went back into the synagogue as his custom was to do. So God may not start you with full-blown creative miracles. A lot of times he starts you teaching, preaching, pastoring, watching faithfulness. People love to swim in the river. Few love to be faithful to God. He's going to start you with faithfulness. Do you want something big from God? He said, if you can't be faithful in another man's, how can God give you what you're your own? Because if you're not faithful in another man's, God gives you your own. You're going to have people faithful to you. And if you didn't sow faithfulness, you're not going to reap faithfulness. Well, that'll preach. The faithful ones just clap. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell them I am sent you. And moreover, God said, verse 15 of Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers. See, he's always going back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's who he appeared to. And established his covenant and his promises. He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel. That was his first job. They understand, they don't even, half of them don't know who he is. Some of them might vaguely remember because he hasn't been to Egypt in 40 years. He's got to go and approach all the elders. And watch what God tells him to tell him. And he said to them, go and gather the elders, say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me. Say appeared. Now, how would you like to just show up in front of the elders? Don't even know who you are. You come from the backside of a desert. You've been tending sheep. You're going to get to know what that's like because that's going to happen to us. Show up on the scene and said, God has appeared to me. Who appeared to you? God. How did he appear to you? Well, he was in a bush. You don't know me, but I used to be in Egypt 40 years ago. I actually killed a man to deliver you people. God delivered me from myself, but he has appeared to me. How did God appear to you? Well, I was tending sheep and I turned aside and there was a burning bush. Yeah, a bush. A bush. And God spoke to me and he appeared to me in the fire. Yeah. Do you think then the elders are going to believe them? That's what's wrong with the gospel, that we go and tell the world that our King has been resurrected from the dead. They said, I haven't seen that, but I have seen him. I'm Moses right now. I saw him. He appeared to me. He talked to me. I'm telling you, he did. This gospel is not designed to convince people intellectually. It's designed to be a testimony. Moses was supposed to go and give his testimony to the elders. And God told him that they're going to listen to you. Because you're going to do signs in front of them. Because I'm going to demonstrate that I'm with you. You see? The threefold cord here, there is an appearance, there is a message, I'm coming to deliver you and bring you back to the land, and then there's the Holy Ghost. When those three get established, you're going to see the world shake. You're going to see cities shake. You're going to see things happen. You're going to see trembling. The Lord God appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what the Egyptians have done to thee. And I said, I'll bring you up out of the affliction. See, he had a message of deliverance and a message of promise that I'm going to bring you into a land that I've already swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've already done it by covenant. If they understood covenant, they would have known God had to fulfill his promise. They would have never been in unbelief because God had to have fulfilled it. He made a covenant to fulfill it. He could not break his word to Abraham. Even in all their unbelief, he still fulfilled his word. To a land flowing with milk and honey. In verse 18, look at God. It says, they shall hearken unto you. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. So now you're going to go to the elders, you're going to convince them, tell them, and then you're going to go to Pharaoh and say, God has met with us, he's appeared to us, and he says, let my people go. Which one of you want that job?
We do.
You better know God when you start acting like that. But when you're commissioned and God's with you, he'll do signs. And when God does signs, miracles, and wonders, and demonstration, then it's okay. Because when God sends you, he's going to be with you. It's a difference. When you have the eyewitness testimony, and you have the word of promise, or the word of the resurrection, the word of the right hand of God, then the Holy Ghost is going to come be with you. Verse 19. Look at God. I am sure. See, God was setting it up. In fact, God told Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so I can do more signs. I'm going to make an example out of that boy. He wasn't a nice Pharaoh that worked with Joseph. This is another, actually, he was an Assyrian 400 years later that oppressed him. He wasn't the same Pharaoh. I am sure the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. He's talking about your mighty hand, but he's going to let you go by my mighty hand. I will stretch out my hand, and I'll smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst of thee, and thereof, and after that, he's going to let you go. He's going to let my firstborn go. I believe God's going to raise a company of apostles in the world that's going to confront, that's going to demonstrate, do signs, wonders, miracles. He's going to demonstrate in the financial arena. He's going to demonstrate in the arena of creative miracles, Capernaum inheritance, Mount Hebron inheritance, apostolic government. His kingdom is going to be seen by his Gentile church before his Jewish church gives the final testimony. Verse 19. I'm sure he's not going to let you go, but I'm going to stretch out my hands. Verse 21. And I'll give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now watch this. Moses gets demonstration and wealth transference because this is a king priest government. When you have a wealth transference, that's a kingly anointing. When you have demonstration and power, that's a priestly anointing. Moses was operating in both of them. Watch what he says. This is powerful. I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It's payday. 400 years. Hard labor. 400 years of brickyards. Somebody, it's payday. When it's payday, they'll give their wealth to you. He says, you're not going to go out empty. Don't you like that? You are not going to go out empty. Said every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. You're not going to borrow it in a sense like you're paying it back. They're going to give it up. God said, by the time I'm through with them, they're going to want you out. They will pay you to get out. They will bless you to get out. Just go from us. Every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and if they sojourneth in her house, jewels. These are the ones that served in the Egyptian's house. Maids are going to become heirs. people who clean the dishes and wash the floors and scrub the floors are now going to become the heirs. Jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons, upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. I mean, spoil them. You ever thought about that? God said, I'm going to give you all the wealth and I'm going to march you right out into a desert where there's no place to spend it. I got all this wealth. There's no shopping malls. I mean, you're going to rejoice when you get the wealth. And about, you know, a couple of days, you're going to figure it out. What am I going to do with all this stuff? It's heavy on my neck. Where am I going with this wealth? Oh. Now listen, you gospel entrepreneurs, kings. That wealth is going to be used to build his tabernacle. He goes, oh yeah, I'm going to build a tabernacle. We're going to use all that gold and silver, and we're going to build my tabernacle with it. But I'm going to bless you. I already have a promised land waiting for you anyway. Isn't that good? All right, go to Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. I like this. Moses starts arguing. Hallelujah. Moses started offering excuses. Moses answered and said, behold, God, they're not going to believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Because that was his message. Was it or was not his message? Was it his message to the apostles when he appeared to them to go tell the world, you are eyewitnesses of my resurrection? It was the Lord himself's message to bear witness of the Father and that he was the only way to the Father. And he told them and said, you cannot believe what I say to you, then believe the works, for they bear witness of me. We must, and I mean must, come back to that operation. Say must. That's the way the job's going to get done. We sacrificed a lot not to try to build things in the natural, to try to build a church in the natural and build the way things are built. We tried to build and we stayed with God to build according to his blueprint, according to his revelation. And we've had to sit and sit and sit and sit while we watch people go and go and go and go. And that's hard to do sometimes. Because we are waiting on a day when the blueprint gets finalized and finished. So we can go with the blueprint and the way God called to do. And this is what I believe with all my heart. In 1 year, we're going to do more than we did in all 20 previous years. And every year after that, a generation can be changed. The good news is the blueprints, revelation-wise, is being finalized. First one. And Moses said, they're not going to believe me if I tell them the Lord has appeared unto me. And the Lord said, what is that in your hand? So he said, throw that rod down. It turned into a serpent. He said, now pick it up. He said, now stretch out your hand. Put it in your coat. And it became leprous. He said, now put it back in there. And he took the leprosy. He goes, if they don't believe these two signs, he goes, and I'm going to turn the river into blood. He goes, after that, they're going to believe. Now, this is the first instruction to go to the elders. So see what he says. Go to them with a message. Go to them with the message of the eyewitness. Go to them with the promise of a land to come, and I'll be with you to demonstrate. That's the pattern. Verse 5, that they may believe the Lord God. He said, I'm going to do signs. That they may believe the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared unto thee. God wanted them to know that I have appeared to you. He was going to validate that appearance. He was going to validate that commission that he gave him. God will authenticate and validate the true commission that's from above. That's where the church has to come to. To get to that level of testimony where the validation of heaven comes. When you speak, it happens. When you decree, it happens. When you stand in front, it happens. You don't ever leave a wheelchair empty. I mean full, you empty it every time. You never leave eyes blind. How many of you ever prayed and you walked away and you prayed with all your faith? You prayed with all your heart. When God's backing you, you don't leave him like that. It happens right in front of everybody. Because he's validating, authenticating the message and the witness. That's why it's so important that we stand for this grace to be established in this body and in the world. The grace of the corporate eyewitness. Verse 8, and it will come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, verse 9, neither hearken to thy voice, you'll take of the water of the river, pour it upon dry ground, and the water which shall take it shall become blood upon the dry ground. They're going to believe you. He went to them, and they believed. Now, Pharaoh wasn't that easy. The elders were much easier than Pharaoh. Look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. See, he's making excuses. I'm not eloquent. God said, I'm going to be with you already. Man, if he'd have known he got the eye, when God appears in front of you, that's it. You're there. Do you understand that? You're there. When God appears and speaks something in an eyewitness state, you are there. He's with you. Do you get that? I don't know if I'm perfect enough for that. Well, I'm quite certain Peter wasn't. I'm quite certain Paul wasn't. He was on his way to kill more Christians on his way. I'm quite certain Jacob wasn't before God made him Israel. He was a deceiver. Stole his brother's birthright and his blessing. His mama was in on it. These were all imperfect people. Abraham and Isaac sell their wives off as their sisters. It's grace. It's God's grace to choose a man or a woman. It's God's grace to establish his testimony in them. And it's God's grace to send them. He perfects them along the way. Amen. So I've been telling you the eyewitness is a grace. Grace. Grace and more grace. I am not eloquent. Verse 10. Anybody ever said that? God's telling you to do something. I'm not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since has spoken unto a servant, but I am slow of speech and a slow tongue. I am the wrong person for this. You ever thought about that? I love God's answer. And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb and the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord made your mouth? If I made your mouth, you're going to speak what I tell you to speak. When God stand in front of you telling you something that I witnessed state, it's just going to happen. You don't have to argue with him anymore. It's just going to happen. Moses didn't know he already had it. That's like the salesperson continuing the sale after you close the deal. Look, once the eyewitness comes, the deal's been closed. If the eyewitness comes, God appears to you and starts telling you something, it's already been, the deal has been closed in heaven. Your future is going to be very, very bright. You don't have to keep talking. Who has made man's mouth? Verse 12. Now go therefore. I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God promises to be with your mouth. He'll teach you. My first teaching when God called me, mighty evangelist. I wasn't a pastor. I would not allow people to call me a pastor back then. I did this Saturday night meeting. My first message. I mean, I was so revved up. I came in from Dallas. I was living in Dallas, out of the will of God. God said, get back to Houston, where you belong. I could in 15 minutes, I preached everything I knew. And I had nothing left to say, and they're all looking at me like, and I'm going, See, that's how God starts you. You don't just start out like that. You begin. And over time, this thing's developed. The spirit of revelation developed. The gift of teaching, all that. See, develops over time. But God will be with you. Amen? Everyone say, God is with me. Exodus 4 and 17. Thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, and wherewith thou shalt do signs. And he tells them, now the elders, they jumped on board, and they went to Pharaoh. Boy, you know what Pharaoh did. I mean, they threw their snakes down, and Pharaoh's magicians threw their snakes down, and God's snake swallowed Pharaoh's snakes. God hardened Pharaoh's heart to make an example out of him. Because he was preaching the gospel to the entire world at this point. Because he was going to take down the mightiest nation in front of the whole world with one man that could not even speak. In fact, to begin with, he had to go, Aaron had to speak for him. God cut a deal with him because Moses wouldn't quit. And God's anger said, all right, look, I'll be with Aaron's mouth. He'll speak what I tell you. Look, when God's going to do something, he's going to do it. If he chooses you, he chooses you. You got to have somebody walk with you for a little while and talk for you. That's what he did. He said, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to do signs. Well, we know the story. He broke Pharaoh. He broke him. One manifestation after another, after another, after another, after another. Lice, locusts, frogs. Waking up and frogs in your bed. How'd you like that? Stepping on frogs in the morning. How many want to have lunch? Lice, blood, river full of blood, stank. Firstborn, dead. That's why they gave up their wealth. Said, get out. Just get out. God has enough demonstration to convince the world. But Pharaoh's still hard-hearted. He had to follow him into the Red Sea. Somebody, this profound scholar, y'all listen to this. He had found the place where they had crossed in the Red Sea and found out that it wasn't such a miracle after all. That he had found the Red Sea. There was a part in the Red Sea that you could pass over. There was enough. It was like a couple feet of water where everybody could tread through the water and they could get all their chariots and the wagons and their horses and their sheep and their children through. So God really didn't have to part the Red Sea. Then there was this kid listening to this profound scholar, and he raised his hand and said, excuse me. Excuse me. He said, yes, sir. He said, wow, that's more of a miracle than I thought it was. And the scholar goes, how is that? He goes, 2 feet of water. Drown the entire Egyptian army. Drown in 2 feet of water. That is amazing. Wow. Wow. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 30. We're going to close this. And Aaron spake the words of the Lord, spoke to Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. Say, they believed. When did they believe? They believe when signs were done. There is going to be a mass harvest that are going to believe, because right now they're not believing because they see it, hear it all the time. Hear, hear, hear. But there is going to be a level of demonstration. It's going to release the gospel of astonishment. And I believe right now with the present understanding with all my heart, that the threefold apostolic testimony is what's going to make that happen. The corporate eyewitness, the message of the resurrection and right hand of God, and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost is going to release that level of revival. We're not going to know until it happens anyway, are we? But I believe it with everything in me. Amen. Everyone say amen. Amen. Now go to Deuteronomy 34. We'll close with this scripture. Verse 10. Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Okay. Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. There arose not a prophet since Israel like unto HRC saints, whom the Lord knew face to face. Whom the Lord knew. That's the testimony I want. I want to know him face to face. And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his servants and all the land, and all the mighty hand and all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Man, God was with him. That's the testimony we want to have. I don't want to build a church. I want God to be with us. There is a difference in building a church and God to be with you. I want God with us. If God's with you, you never will have to ever preach to an empty seat again. Not ever. When God's with you like that. Amen. That's how the harvest is going to happen in the last days. God's going to turn this nation around. Everybody thinks this nation's judgment. Look, if America fell, America's the last lighthouse of the world. God's going to turn it around before the tribulation days come. God's going to turn this around and it's going to be a testimony. The Bible says the two wings of a great eagle come and rescue Israel midway through the tribulation. When the Antichrist calls him, declares himself God, he says, get out. God said, get out. And it says the wings of a great eagle, two wings of a great eagle, come and rescue them. That's got to be America. God's still going to use America. Amen. Amen.